Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Sam and Greg. What would you call this morning, man? Kind of a foggy thing going on out there?
It is a foggy thing going on, once again.
Going out to Chop Fest?
Chop Fest.
Going on today. Hopefully we won't get rained on.
Also, congratulations to a former Brave friend of our show, Terry Pendleton, going into the Braves Hall of Fame.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah,
congratulations to TP.
Okay,
you ready for this? Not to be outdone, before we get into this high school hoops and what's going on with this tournament. Robert E. Lee, General Lee.
That would be him.
Edgar Allan Poe, Minnesota Fats. John Johnson, not a voice known by a lot of folks, but in our house, very, very big name.
Yep.
Guy who started Ebony Magazine and Black Hair Care Products. Gene Stapleton.
Archie.
Nicholas Costa, I want to say this right. Nicholas Costa, he was coach in Cheers, but he was also the wise guy in Raging Bull. He was the one that De Niro had to go get permission from to fight the championship, or should we say Jake LaMotta. Janis Joplin.
Ooh.
These are all birthdays from today. Dan Reeves.
Coach.
Coach Dan Reeves.
Happy birthday today. Happy birthday, Coach.
Along with Dolly Parton.
Whoa, happy birthday, Dolly.
Chris Sabo. Remember that name?
Yes.
His nickname was?
Radar.
Come on. Well, I got a couple baseball fans in here. Y'all don't know what Chris Sabo's nickname was?
What was it?
You remember? He was Spuds McKenzie. Remember he had that goofy look about him, and there was that dog, and they called him Spuds.
I remember Spuds McKenzie.
Yeah, but they called Sabo Spuds because he had those glasses he wore when he played, when he played in the field. He didn't wear them when he was batting, but he wore them in the field, and he looked like that dog in the ad.
I'm seeing Spuds McKenzie.
All right.
I'm also seeing the ladies that used to hang out with him. I'm like, why are these good-looking women hanging out with this dog? But go ahead.
Stefan Edberg. I always want to say Steven Edberg.
Stefan Edberg.
Frank Caliendo.
No, you know him.
And here, I end with this in the 30 for 30. I don't know if it's out or coming out, but Junior Seau would have been 50 today.
Man.
Take a second and think about this man and his career and what he continues to do for the NFL.
Absolutely.
In death. Absolutely. Him, Dave Durison, a few other guys.
Long after the fact.
So. Anyway, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and Sam and Greg. And this is where you tell us about what's going on with some of these tournaments.
We got some college stuff going on because we have a lot of tournaments. Well, as far as that goes, you mean the high school events that are taking place, a number of high school events that are taking place for King Holiday Monday. There's basketball around the area on that Monday. A number of events that are taking place. You can go out and catch high school basketball. There's some college basketball, too. Over at Morehouse, Dr. King's alma mater, they're playing Albany State on King Holiday Monday.
Did we find out if stuff's going to be open over there?
Over at the King Center. Yes, Delta Airlines has come through to make sure that will happen.
Okay.
Yeah, so we salute tip of the cap to the folks out at the airport and Delta Airlines who helped fund that so that everything will be open at the King Center on Monday. Right. Of course, the Hawks will be home on Monday playing the King Holiday game at 3 o'clock start against the Orlando Magic.
You didn't even need the notes in front of you here.
No, man.
And it doesn't say kick. It says tip.
It says that. It doesn't say tip this week.
It says tip.
It's been saying kick, even though we'd be tipping off. They'd be showing the kickoff.
Sean got on me about that.
It's going on. So that's happening. But also, we'll talk about some college basketball action today in the area if you want to catch college hoops. Georgia is home, but they are 12 noon start. They're playing the Florida Gators today at 12 noon up in Athens. Both teams are 9-7, 1-3 in conference. And CBS, nationwide, going to carry that game. At 3 o'clock, we mentioned on WAOK, downstairs around the corner, Georgia State is on the road taking on Troy in Troy, Alabama. They're 14-4. Dave Cohen, of course, the voice of the Panthers, is there. He held the Panther pregame show at 2:30. Tip-off at 3 on 1380 WAOK. Georgia Tech is home. 4 o'clock start against Louisville. That's always tough. And Tech's top player, Jose Alvarado, got a groin injury, so he will miss this game, and they need him with Louisville coming to town. Former Georgia Tech great Anthony Morrow is going to be honored at halftime of that game. And Kennesaw State is home, 4:30 start this afternoon against Florida Gulf Coast. That game is out at Kennesaw. That's college basketball in the area today as well. You know, we talked about college hoops. You talked about the game we have here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game is a pretty big game nationally.
Oh, wait, hang on. I was doing 3 different things okay. here right now. Yeah. The number one team in the country, Wolverines and the Badgers. This gets back to what we say about Wisconsin, though, be it football or basketball. They're just good enough to screw things up for the other people.
Why you say that?
And they just kind of get in the way.
Getting in the way of who?
When's the last time Wisconsin has been a power at anything? When have they brought it across the finish line? They get up there, they mess around in the Final Four, they do some stuff, but they never. They're just below a power to me.
You think so?
I do. Well, again, when have they won?
They're consistently there. They haven't won it, but they're consistently.
You know who else
there
is like that?
Gonzaga to get there
in basketball.
Gonzaga because people think
whatever the reason they're there though.
They're a mid-major, and they just for years they were the team that messed up your brackets. But now we expect them to be
making
there.
My point.
Yeah, but I mean that's the difference because they're not in the Power Five or a major conference. And I think that's the thing that's different with a Michigan or a Wisconsin. You feel that team is tested more. Gonzaga, the only team they have to worry about beating is, who is it, St. Mary's? I mean, that's the only team in their conference that really challenges them every year. There are more challenges that Wisconsin will face. And think about this year in the Big Ten. Maryland just won last night. Maryland is having a great season, and they're ranked 19th in the country. So that's another team you're talking about as far as the Big Ten. You have to remind yourself, once again, they are in the Big Ten. And their basketball is strong this year.
You just said something that I'm not going to let you gloss over, and you talked about Gonzaga having to worry about. They beat Duke this year.
I know.
Okay, but okay. So they worried about some of them other than just these mid-majors.
They
took it to Coach K.
Yeah.
So, again, my point is that they're always there. They seem to be a story when they always show up. Like they show up, hey, look at this mid-major school, Gonzaga, they're going to do it, and then they never do it. They get up close,
well,
and then
they're going to do it. I mean, but the fact that they get there consistently without a quote brand or superstar player, and we look at Duke. A lot of people thought when the season started that Duke might run the table and not lose a game at all. Yet the youth and inexperience comes through, and once again, Gonzaga is a team kind of like what we saw make it with Loyola Chicago, a team of guys who stayed together 3-4 years. And I always say you can get a group of experienced guys who played together that time. Not people who transfer in and out. These guys know each other. You can turn the lights out in the gym. They still find each other. That's part of what makes tournament time a lot of fun to me. Now, I don't want to see the big-time teams go away. I still want to see Duke in there. You want to see North Carolina. You want to see Kansas in there. But I want to see some mid-majors come in there and give them fits.
Well, North Carolina might not be there this year because they got 4 losses.
They'll be in the tournament now. They may not be in the end conversation. I mean, Villanova's got 4 losses.
So you talk about the players, though. You talk about Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, talking college basketball right now. And you talk about the individuals on these teams, and they don't have this star or that star or whatever. When it comes to college, with the exception of college football, it's all about the coaches. It comes down to that. I'm not looking. I mean, yes, Duke's going to have an issue with Trey Jones being out. He's not the best player on the team, but he's the best defender. Okay, but this comes down to how is Coach K going to make his moves to get these guys the win? It always seems to come back to coaches. So when we talk college basketball, who do you feel better about going into tournament or these big games coming, coming up? I like what Beeline's doing with Michigan this year much better than what Wisconsin. In a one-game sampler, if I had to, put all my money on one of these, whether it was the tournament or right now, I'm going with Michigan. They have a momentum right now. And the thing about Michigan is that they're in that unique position, much like Georgia Tech is here. The big dog is across town.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though they won some national championships, they're always going to be looked at, Tom Izzo's around the corner, despite the problems that Michigan State is going through.
Oh, yeah, right.
He's always the top of the food chain when it comes to college basketball in that state. So that's their You know, that's what they're striving for. That's what they're going after. That's the momentum that they want to have going into tournament, showing everybody that, you know what, you guys can pay attention to these dudes over in East Lansing, but you better recognize what's happening here in Ann Arbor. And we were there last year, by the way, for the championship. So we got a taste of it. Now we want to quench our thirst.
Yep. Well, you got Duke taking on Virginia. And to me, that's a big game, not just the ACC, but a big game nationally. And I kind of see that as the irresistible force against the immovable object, because Duke has all these high flyers that are going to put a lot of points on the board. But Virginia is known for winning with defense, and they're still undefeated. So to me, that's a tough test for this Duke team. There's not full strength. They're not at 100%.
And again, Trey Jones, I keep going back to that because that's, like you said, the Virginia team is this is their guy. This is the guy who takes care of the defense. And there's no better defender, and you know, according to Jay Billis and others who watch this a lot more than us, we'll ask Deshaun tomorrow, no better defender in college basketball right now than this dude. And he's, you know, he's nicked up.
But
hang your hat on what's going on right now, though, January, you know, what?
You know they're going to be there, and it's time 19th? To work with the guys to get acquainted. And we talk about one and dones, and nobody even talking about Kentucky. How does Kentucky get to be like an afterthought?
Of the way they play.
Well, I mean,
you are what your record says.
Just saying, I mean, you're a young team. Obviously, the inexperienced guys are looking to come through there and play 1 year, move on to the league. And, you know, when does that catch up? When does that catch up with things? When does that catch up with Coach Calipari?
Well, the thing about it was when he started doing that, everybody wasn't doing it like they are now. So he got away with it. He was the outlier or one of the outliers. Now everybody, Coach K on down, is doing it. And it's just the nature of the beast. So he's no longer unique. And say this out loud. Coach K and Kentucky are one notch ahead of number 13, North Carolina.
That's way down the
list. You
know
what I'm saying?
We're not used to seeing it way down the list.
One's
like
got
that.
Four losses, and that's North Carolina. And the other one's got three losses, and this is January 19th.
Yeah. That's because of Southeastern Conference. Tennessee is up at the top. Tennessee and Auburn are playing incredible, incredible basketball in the Southeastern Conference right now. So you got to watch for them. And Ole Miss has even come out and played some good basketball. So there's some challenges in that conference. It's not just the Kentucky Invitational this year, as it's been so many years. You know, we know who's going to get the trophy. Everybody else is playing for second place. A little bit different this time around.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You know what happened on this day also?
What happened?
What you got? Eddie Matthews went into the Hall of Fame. Well, former Brave.
Yes.
And the year before that, Ernie Banks, Mr. Cub.
Whoa.
Went in.
Yeah.
But bringing it back to college basketball, because I have to do that. This was the day that the most famous streak in college basketball ended. I say again, the most famous streak in college basketball ended today.
The most famous or the longest?
Well, that would be the most famous.
Maybe not.
Depends well, on what's more famous than that 88-game streak? 88 games.
Yep.
88 games UCLA had won in a row until today in 74 when Notre Dame beat them.
Remember that game?
You do?
I do.
Was it televised?
Yes, it was televised. Remember, UCLA had their own deal.
Well, they might have, but they didn't deal it in Oak Park or in Chicago.
It maybe was on
in
Chicago.
January.
Maybe on a channel you wouldn't watch it.
The UHF?
But maybe it could have been. I mean, that's the station.
Moved
the
rabbit
up.
Ears around.
Possibly.
Put it in the kitchen where the window was, so he could get the signal out.
Didn't have the rabbit ears. You get a strong wire coat hanging. Work that thing.
We used to put it by the window so he could get, you know, a clear shot at.
But UCLA had their own, just like Notre Dame had their own deal for football. You know, UCLA was the same thing for basketball with Dick Enberg back in the day, and those are those UCLA teams. It was a game against. I'm trying to think. I think Austin Carr was on that team for Notre Dame. They beat them. That was a big deal.
What's the equivalent, if anything, to what we're seeing presently to that UCLA dominance? But you could draw a correlation, and I don't care if it's on the pro level, because the closest thing I can think of is what happened here in Atlanta with the Braves, 14 straight division championships. What John Wooden did in college, and by the way, Bobby Cox didn't have nearly the turnover that John Wooden had for that year, for those years, okay? So 10.
But at least he knew guys would stand for four.
Yes, he did. And well, he except
guys,
for.
Guys wouldn't come in.
Didn't Walton come out in three?
I don't think so. I think everybody stayed. I think everybody stayed right. Four.
Well, that I was trying to think. Is it the Patriots?
Probably.
In their run?
Probably. But that's, like you said, that's the same You know, and you know what? The face has changed with that. You only got a couple of constants with that. You got to have a good line and that quarterback. Everything else has been interchanged up there.
All right.
And look at where they are, ready to do it again tomorrow.
Ready to go again and just messing up everybody's.
Talk about changes.
Yeah.
They've had quite a few down I-20.
Yeah, right there at 285.
No, I'm not diving on the other side of the state line. We're going to check in with things down there. Jay Berg of WVTM Birmingham joining us to talk about things happening at Bama. We continue on this game day Saturday morning, Sports Radio 929 The Game at 929TheGame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg, foggy morning, but we persevere.
It is foggy.
Yeah, things to talk about coming up top of the hour. We got Sports Insiders, usually with Dan Cabal and Dr. Dale Yake, but Dan is off today, and I will be sitting in with Dr. Dale, and we're going to be, going all over the map. There's a bunch of stuff he wants to talk about. You know what I forgot? How long does the holiday season last? So, like, how long can you still wish people a
Happy New Year?
Well, not Happy New Year, because that's a calendar thing. But, like, Christmas. You know, you're still in the Christmas spirit up to what? Up to New Year's?
I think up to New Year's.
So, like, just a week?
And then after that, it's a new year.
Okay. So just a week or so.
Happy New Year. Yeah, I think you have to get that Christmas.
Oh, God, I'm late. I should have done this last week.
You
got to
get that Christmas in.
Well, I wanted to reach out to – I've never done this before. Our Serbian – audience members.
Okay.
Their Christmas is January 7th. I found that out haphazardly found this out. But Serbia celebrates, because of their calendar,
okay,
Christmas on January 7th. The person who's helping my father out is Serbian.
Okay.
And she was telling me that she had to have this particular date off where he had a doctor's appointment, and she said, well, I can't because it's Christmas. And I did that Scooby-Doo thing again. We're like, what? What are you talking about? Oh, and then I got educated.
Mm.
I didn't know that. So Serbia celebrates Christmas
on
January 7th. There you go.
Okay.
Insignificant information. You can believe that. But it was something I did not know that. Hey, hopefully we're still working on trying to get in touch with Kyle.
Okay. And have him on.
We're working on that. But I ask you, what do you think is going on with the coaching changes over in Alabama? Other than it's Nick Saban's staff and everybody wants to pick a piece of Nick Saban's staff.
And that's the thing. When you see a program, you know, I won't say start to sag or anything like that, usually this has something to do with it. Usually, you know, you have some great assistants that leave and you can't just – and he knows a lot of people.
But he's been back.
And a lot of people, you know, that's the thing, though. The illusion with Nick Saban is that he's everywhere. And you got to have – he's got to sleep sometime. And I'm talking basically about recruiting.
Okay.
The illusion is he's all over the place, and he knows everybody, and he's seeing everybody. He may go in there and set the table, but he's had some other people who are going to help him maintain things. And I don't know if he's getting the same caliber person to help him maintain. So I don't know. But we got somebody who can tell us a bit about this. Is joining us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Kyle Berger from WVTM-TV in Birmingham. Thanks for getting up and spending some time with us. Happy New Year to you, first of all, Kyle. You've been a busy guy.
You know what? I have. Like this wake-up call isn't so bad when I think about in San Jose. I was getting it for 3 a.m. live hits on TV on the West Coast time. So not too bad. But, yeah, Happy New Year, Sam.
You were out on the West Coast. You were there for the national championship game. What did you think as you saw Alabama get kind of dismantled? That's something folks in Alabama are not used to seeing.
Oh, no. We haven't seen a loss like that in Nick Saban's tenure here at Alabama. I was looking back through some notes at that game. The last head coach to beat Alabama by 15 or more points was Nick Saban, 2004, when he was at LSU. So there's some history for you right there. But that game, I'm not shocked Clemson put up 44 points. I'm completely shocked, floored that Alabama could only score 16 with the way their offense is humming all season long. I mean, the way that Tua was hitting receivers in stride all season, we've seen that every game. And it just kind of fell apart in the second half. Clemson was the better team. It seems like every player they had out on the field at that game had their game stepped up beyond the Alabama player they're going head-to-head across the field.
Talking to Kyle Berger, joining Sam at Greg Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Before we get into what's going on with the coaches, let's go back a little bit and address the big news that came out first. And is there a backstory? What's the story that we may not know about, but Jalen Hurts leaving the program?
And this was kind of expected. You knew going in that we all assumed going in anyway that this would be his last year with Tua winning the job. But as far as backstory, I don't think there's any. I mean, the fans here love Jalen Hurts. He is one of the most popular players ever to come through Alabama since I've even lived in Alabama since 2007. He really just came down to Miami, Maryland, and then Oklahoma. I think he made a very smart choice. He was considering Miami because his quarterback's coach at Alabama, Dan Enos, is now the OC in Miami. He considered Maryland because Mike Locksley was the OC at Alabama this past year. He's moved on to head coach of Maryland. And Oklahoma pops up. And why not go with Lincoln Riley, the coach that's created the last two high-winning quarterbacks? They've been to the college football playoffs each of the last 2 years. I think it's a very good move. You're playing in a conference that defense is a little weaker, and maybe Lincoln Riley can be that quarterback whisperer that's held the previous two to make Jalen better, to make him a better passer. That's really all he's lacking is some of that accuracy at throwing the ball. But everything else, Jalen, man, he's a great person and a great player.
All right, now let's get to the coaches real quick, because I heard there's been a number of other guys that have departed, but this story I heard this past week is the one I wanted to hang my hat on, in that allegedly there was a meeting that took place, coaches meeting, and Nick Saban got up and started doing his thing and then asked where Coach Enos was, and nobody responded. And then he continued talking for a little bit, and then he was like, "Hey, where's Coach Enos?" And nobody responded.
Where's Dan?
Exactly. And then apparently he was dropping some four-letter words, still asking for Dan. And this is the quarterback's coach who left. Now, this guy's kind of a nomad if you followed his career, and he bounces around. But the way he kind of exited stage left, I don't know the backstory, but here in Atlanta, one of the things that's being speculated is that he left because of Sarkisian being hired. Any truth behind that?
Well, the report that I read was from The Athletic. Bruce Feldman did a great article about that. And, what we have been told, or what we've heard, is that during the night, Dan Enos cleaned out his desk and left.
Whoa.
That's probably one of the worst ways to leave a job there is, I would say. Not telling your employer that you're leaving. But he comes back on Twitter, Enos does, and says that he did have communication with Saban about this, but according to that report, it sounds like there was no communication. I don't mind the guy taking another job to better his life or make his life better, but maybe there's a better way to do it. But as far as Sarkisian coming in, Nick Saban has not announced it officially yet. I expect it within the next week or so. But that's a hot button for Alabama fans, because they were not fans of Sarkisian. The one game that he was the OC, that was a championship game they lost to Clemson when they were 2-for-15 on third downs in that game. Fans have a bitter taste in their mouth because of that, but it wasn't really Sarkisian's fault. He was kind of thrown into that game when Lane Kiffin was relieved of his duties right before that game.
Yep. Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Kyle Berger. You can follow him, too, on Twitter, at Kyle_Berger, all lowercase, WVTM, in Birmingham. Keeping an eye on all things Alabama. And Nike, I think Tua's brother comes to Tuscaloosa in the fall. Is that right?
Absolutely. Talia Tungavailoa. They call him Leah. Talia Tungavailoa. He's actually out in Hawaii back home getting ready for the Polynesian Bowl. He's a great player. I was talking to his dad when they first arrived from Hawaii, just doing a story about their journey. And he's like, Talia is actually better than Tua. This is a couple years ago he was telling me this. So we could be in for a treat if, in fact, Talia is better than Tua, who was the Heisman runner-up. Talia is coming off a great year with Thompson High School. They finished as runner-up in Class 7A, our biggest classification in Alabama. They finished as runner-up in the state championship game. Kind of like how Tua finished runner-up as national champion. Tua also finished runner-up as Heisman. Talia finished runner-up as the player of the year for Alabama, for the state of Alabama. So Tagovailoa has come up just short. But I'm not, Talia is a great player. He's got quick release. He's a dual threat. He can bomb the ball just like his brother does. So it could be just passing of the torch wherever Tua moves on to the NFL.
Man, beware anybody else who's thinking of going to Alabama and playing quarterback in the next few years. Kyle, talk about this recruiting in general now, because I saw a picture of Coach Saban in his helicopter, and we've seen Coach Saban in his copter coming around here a few times. But I saw he was making some moves around Birmingham and visited one Auburn commit, which I guess he can do. But thoughts about that, because here's the deal. As these assistant coaches leave, are the other assistant coaches as well as good at recruiting as those guys have been? I mean, and Saban has to have the illusion that he's everywhere. We know the man has to sleep sometime, so he's got to have some assistants that are going to hold those recruits in. Talk about the recruiting process and how that all goes right now with all of the flux in that coaching staff.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of when I saw Saban touch down here on the football field. One of the coaches that left was Tosh Lupoi. He was the defensive coordinator this past year. He is known as Alabama's best recruiter. He got guys like Tua, Mac Wilson. He's the one that brought those guys in. He has left to take a job with the Cleveland Browns. So that was the first thing that kind of crossed my mind. But back to Nick Saban, man, like, he knows how to make an entrance. He visited at least three schools in the Birmingham area yesterday. Jackson Olin High School has a 4- or 5-star guy who's Quindarius Robinson. He was an Auburn commit. He visited him first. Then he picked up the helicopter and flew on over to it was Hewitt Trussville. They've got several. They already have two guys committed to Alabama for this year. They got several underclassmen that are very good players. He went to talk to them. Then his third stop was to Hueytown, home of Jameis Winston. They have a running back named Wardell Williams, who sounds like he's 100% committed to Alabama, but Saban checked in with all three of those schools and make sure he's good. Maybe trying to flip one of those Auburn commits to Alabama, but the coaching carousel, it doesn't seem to hurt Alabama in the last few years, because it seems like this happens like a couple leave, but not five. But really, the only coach that matters that hasn't left is Nick Saban. So most people trust in his process and what he's been doing over here.
Kyle, final question. We just got a minute or so left here. Thinking about next season, what did Dabo Sweeney expose in this particular program that teams are going to use against Alabama coming up next year?
Gosh, I mean, they dominated like every part of that game. There were defensive backs were able to shut down the wide receivers. It's the recruiting. I think they just have the players that can go toe to toe with Alabama. They're built the same way from the inside, from the trenches out, and Dabo's taking that blueprint, and he does it a little different, a little more, I guess, more fun the way you would describe it. But, it all comes down to recruiting, and they reload just like Alabama does.
Before I let you go, if Saban steps down, Alabama makes the call. Makes the call to Clemson. What does Dabo do?
He stays there.
What Bear Bryant say? Mama call? Like Roy Williams. North Carolina. It can happen.
It ain't happening.
I don't think it will.
It could happen. I'm playing shortstop for the Yankees.
Kyle Perkins, thanks so much for spending some time.
Thanks, Kyle, for spending some time with us
this morning.
Hey, guys,
appreciate it.
All right, take care.
You are going to keep beating that drum.
I'm just saying,
it got a hole in it.
I was just asking somebody from Alabama if he got the call.
This is about Dabo. This ain't about Alabama anymore. You need to talk to folks from Clemson. You need to talk to folks from South Carolina. That's who you need to talk to. Hey, you been out with Dabo? Oh, I was with him last week. Has he said anything about coming back to Alabama? They would know.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, they would.
No,
He's with him.
He's got a whole different phone for Alabama.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Sam and Greg. How are you a pilot on a day like this?
I don't know. They earn their money.
I mean, I realize that there's instruments to get you through the car, but this fog, forget about a commercial pilot. if you were like taking your smaller jet out,
yeah.
See, no,
yeah, that's the thing. I'd have to. I'm taking a bus.
Yeah, I'm calling Greyhound, seeing what their specials are.
We're 9 floors up. We're 9 floors up in Midtown, and once again, this cloud has come in. We've had this almost every week, and every weekend.
It's because this state can't figure out. Doesn't have a calendar. They can't figure out. This is supposed to be January. It's supposed to stay cold. One day, you know, 1 week we got it down into the 20s and 30s. This week it's going to be near 60, right? Today, near 60 degrees?
Probably so. And we can barely see the art center right across the street from us. We can barely see it.
So I'm popping up and down, you know, as far as the thermostat.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty crazy. Keep it right.
At the house. Hey, man, I'm worried about Dr. Dale.
Yep.
I am worried about him.
Well, why?
Well, just getting in this building. Yeah. And fog and all that.
Yeah.
Because you don't park down below. That is its own
separate episode
of Oprah down there.
It truly is.
And getting down in there and then finding the elevator that works.
Finding the right elevator.
So I'm worried about him getting his. You might have to hang around. The other thing is I want to say this, and I do this to you before we get into the changing landscape of our city. You must have had a big old smile on your face this past week, and I thought of you. When the announcement came, I knew this happened a while ago. But they made it official this past week. A guy who has just made the hair stand up on the back of your neck is no longer affiliated with NBC. And that's Bob Costas.
Bob Costas. Oh, more Bob, man. Just going on and on and on.
You want to tell everybody? Now, tell everybody Bob, why I bring that up.
Because it was officially announced that Bob Costas' tenure at NBC is done.
No, but why he made the hair.
Oh, because on Sunday nights, we'd have to wait until he stopped.
You locally here. Yes.
If you're doing the local news on the NBC affiliate on a Sunday night, the Sunday night football game, they just gave the back end of the broadcast to him to talk about as long as he wanted to. And, I mean, it seemed like they gave him no rap cue. He was waiting until he got tired of talking. And then you finally got to do the news. And so that's the thing. You just got tired of waiting on Bob every Sunday night. It's a long wait.
So y'all sitting in there and you got your makeup on and you can't go and eat anything more because you don't know when Bob's going to stop. And you're sitting there on set cussing at him.
11:30, 11:45, 12, you know what I mean? You're waiting on Bob.
Hey, Dr. Dale made it.
Dr. Dale is here.
But anyway, I thought of you. But there's nobody else in American sports television at one network. Is it Jim Nance?
Now that he's got Nance is probably.
So Nance came after Costas.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. Yep.
All those guys that. So he was Costas was there in the late. Was it 79? He started
somewhere in there. Some.
So we can't go to the ESPN guys because they didn't start till 79. I think
they didn't start till 80 somewhere.
So maybe Bob Lee.
At ESPN.
Because he's the original, because Berman's not gone.
He's the last original. They're still there.
Wow.
Full
time. Just a few guys.
And Berman makes cameo appearances.
The changing nature of the city, if you've driven around, you've seen Atlanta putting its best foot forward and some companies coming here trying to help us put our best foot forward by plastering their company name in areas that they think will have the most eyeballs.
Yeah,
talked about it earlier. Pepsi's taking over MARTA stations, things like that, and
billboards, everything. The side of Peachtree Plaza. Mm-hmm. I mean, anything you want to talk about. You've seen Bud Light labels on the side of one building. You spend a lot of money to have your brand associated with this event, and that's why the commercial spots cost so much for the telecast. So if you're going to be here and actually be on the ground at this event, you want your label in as many places as possible. And Pepsi, knowing this is the hometown of Coca-Cola, they have come in with the thunder, dude. I mean, they have running it all over the place. And also that, their displays in the grocery stores. If you go to grocery stores, that Pepsi display is huge.
Right.
I mean, so they're coming in knowing that they've dropped the money. They've dropped the cash to do it. You know,
so
and,
one of the
and don't think about coming in with any other brand or anything. I remember the last event I can remember this happening was like when the Braves were hosting the All-Star game and they came through and took labels off of water bottles. If you had the wrong drinking water before the game and it was hot, it's the middle of summertime. We're waiting to do our live reports at 6:00. You know, they coming out. If you sipping some water out of the wrong label, they come in there. Now you can have that bottle. You have that bottle back. Nothing, man. That is what's happening. But, I mean, all over the place you're seeing things that are changing. Centennial Olympic Park is being transformed. I was down there this week. If you go there, you can't get into the park right now. They're working on everything, all the venues for Super Bowl Live. Yeah. That's going to be concerts, and it's all going to be free. And those are the concerts that Jermaine Dupri is working on. You're going to see your local artists down there. You're going to see Monica. You're going to see Goody Mob. You're going to see all, you know, SOS Band. All those people from Atlanta Ties are going to be performing down there. Also, they're going to have food. They've got all kind of activations, a lot of technology, technological exhibits, and even fitness classes. I mean, all that stuff is going to be going on, and it's all free there. Skyview, right outside the big Ferris wheel.
Right.
They have one of the cars is wrapped for the Atlanta Falcons. Next week, they're going to wrap all of those cars in the colors of all of the National Football League teams. Something else you can see to let you know that the Super Bowl is coming to town. But the thing I just put a picture of on our Twitter page, and if you go to Twitter at 929 the game, you'll see a picture of what is going up over at Atlantic Station. A lot of people pass by it on the back lot there and wonder what
folks
that
thought was. It was Cirque du Soleil.
Well, Cirque du Soleil is a tent.
Well, but they construct a number of things up. Eventually it becomes a tent.
This is not a tent.
No, it isn't.
It's a big concert venue that's going up. And this is something that a guy named Jack Murphy does every year at the Super Bowl.
Loved his stadium.
This wasn't his stadium. This could be his stadium right here. But he works with, and this is sponsored by DirecTV, something else they want their name on. Each year they come to town and look for a place. And they don't find a place, an old warehouse or something that fits. They will find a space and from the ground up build a concert venue. I saw the one they built in Houston 2 years ago. They built it. They had Bruno Mars out there the night before the game. This year they will have Foo Fighters the night before the Super Bowl.
See that dude fall off the stage last week?
Yeah.
He took a dive. Go ahead.
But they're going to – it's already sold out.
Right.
About 8,500 people will jam into this place, enjoy this concert. And the minute this concert is over, they start pulling things out and they start tearing the place down. All of that you're seeing over there, when you pass by on 7585 and wait until they get it all built and light it up, hope it doesn't cause accidents. We already have enough accidents on our interstate, but a lot of people, when they come in there and that's where the interstates meet, look over and see this big thing and wonder what the heck it is. And it's just amazing him talk about all the work, about 100, 125 guys working on this thing every day for about 10 hours a day. And when the concert ends, the last note is played, they start pulling stuff at the back. And within 10 to 15 days, you'll never know it was there.
Yeah.
That's how much money's coming through this town with this event.
Major markets.
Like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Incredible stuff.
And look, they've been planning it for how many years?
I know.
So they better get it right for as long as they've known it was coming here.
Well, we got to get things right with Marty. We had a train kind of jump the track this week. We hope they got all cleared up, too.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.